Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 33rd edition of the Biblical Pod. As you guys all know, the Biblical Pod is a weekly discussion where we, one, choose a topic from the Holy Bible, which is the Word of God. Two, we go to the Bible to see what God says about it. And three, we have a discussion about some of the things that are written in the Word about our topic, in the hope of getting a better understanding and seeing how we could use this understanding in our daily lives. Our host for tonight's podcast is Jennifer, and Jennifer will lead our discussion. We're always very excited when we have Jennifer as our lead. So without anything further, I'd like to pass on to her. Jen?
Hey, everyone. Tonight's lesson is going to be about peace. I'm sure we could all use some peace right now, especially with everything going on. And peace is something that people have been searching for throughout history. So I just wanted to start off with a couple of questions. What does peace mean to you? When do you feel most peaceful? And when do you feel the least peaceful? Let's start with Avalon.
Oh, I was going to start. You read my mind. Like during this election, I felt I was feeling peace sometimes, and then sometimes I wasn't feeling peace. I felt peace when I think I'm not in danger or things are going my way. I feel peace. But when I think I'm in danger and my whole world is falling apart, I don't have peace. I can't sleep. You know, I'm awake. I'm thinking about it. So that's my view. That's how I feel about peace.
Okay, Anna?
I think it's a really interesting question. What is peace? I've often come across some of these definitions in, because when I was studying, I was doing a lot of peace and conflict studies. And one of the main lessons in that is that peace in a country is not the absence of armed conflict. That's just like a bare condition. But to have peace, you have to have much more, to have peace in a society. And I think almost in a personal sense, it's almost the same. Like peace is not the absence of stress or disturbances in your life. I think you can have peace is something that you have internally, like an internal, almost like this feeling of nobody could touch me, nobody could penetrate this tranquility. And you can have that even in really horrible circumstances. And I don't think I'm a good example for that, because I'm in probably 90% of cases, I'm really anxious and hyper and, you know, carry a lot of tension unknowingly and, you know, a bit all over the place. But I definitely know when I feel peace. Like for me, I always feel very peaceful when we go on cruises, when Gary and I go on cruises, and I'm just seeing the open ocean, and I know I'm just this tiny little dot in the white sea. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing like that feeling of, and you know, you have no internet, no nothing. You're just out there in the wideness of the ocean. But there's such a beautiful thing about it. And that's, I think that's when I feel the most peaceful.
Awesome. Eric?
Yes, I'm totally agree with what Anna just said, because it's a very, very deep topic. Personally, I think I have peace in general when probably you pray for something, and I don't know how to explain that, but you feel like this feeling of peace because you were a little bit like you are passing through some very difficult situation and you don't know how to react. You don't know what to do. You know, you are a little bit twisted, and the fact to pray when you finish, after you feel like, okay, as Anna said, you probably won't change the things around you, but inside of you, you feel like a peace, you know, a way to say, okay, no matter what could happen, but I will manage the situation, you know, those kind of feeling. And what I can say is like, we are seeing that a lot of people are looking peace in general. They are using multiple ways, but the final goal is getting peace, you know? And I can say that it's something very, very important. And yes.
Okay, and Gary.
Okay, for me, you know, I was thinking when Anna was talking of exactly what she was saying with respect to cruising. For me, peace was for a long time or later on in my life, cruising, being on a cruise ship and just looking at the calmness of the ocean, the tranquility of everything around me, feeling the sea breeze hitting me, just thinking of the vast expanse of the world, looking up at the stars in the night. You know, it was just so beautiful. And I always thought about for a while that that was peace, because it gave me a sort of feeling of, oh, you know, things could be nice. And then I remembered one summer we had cruised a few times, and then I thought I was in a state of peace. I thought everything was nice. Everything was calm and beautiful. And then as summer finished and we went into fall, I had that supposedly tragic incident in my life where I had a heart attack. And during that period of time, it was like the most difficult time for me in my life because I couldn't breathe. And that meant that I lost all feelings of peace. I felt like if, you know, the most stressed person in the world is one who can't breathe. You know, you just can't breathe because you need air to live. In a matter of seconds or minutes, you're gonna die. And when you know that, it's really, really stressful. So up until that point, you know, I thought I had experienced peace. And I remember when I was in hospital and they told me what was happening to me and they told me what they had to do. I remember that was the point at which I felt so stressed out and like this was out of my hands. And I didn't know how to get peace, but I turned to God and we prayed. And I remember when they were wheeling me into the theater, all of a sudden, a peace came upon me that I had never experienced before. It's like God transformed me and he made me realize that the peace that you get when you surrender to him and you say, listen, if this is it, God, you know, I'm happy, I'm grateful. Just whatever is the call that you're making here, I'm all for it. It's totally great for me. And I felt so peaceful and comfortable at that point. They put me on a table to do the procedure and I was feeling happy. I was just happy and just had total confidence that whether I died or I lived, it was in God's hand. And that to me is real peace because it lasts. It doesn't just come and that's the end of it. It's not a moment on a cruise. Because that piece to me changed my life completely. It made me experience something that I did because I didn't know how to face the situation. I'd never experienced anything like that. So I feel in my heart that peace really is a gift that you get from God. And that peace can come and can be enjoyed in the most horrendous of circumstances that you could face. And it's not a circumstantial peace. It's much more fundamental than circumstantial. It's not when you're on a cruise or when you're it's something that happens to you that God blesses you with, even in the worst of situations that you have to confront.
Everyone said really good things. And, you know, for me, peace, there's, I guess, like the different kinds of peace, that natural peace where it's like, oh, this is beautiful. I'm out. I see the beach. I see the water. I don't remember what else is going on. I'm disconnected from society. And that's that temporary fleeting peace. But the peace that comes from God, like you were saying, it's something that it's when everything around you is not peaceful. and you feel that peace, that that's when you really know that that's did something deeper than just, you know, being around the tranquil area waters and stuff like that. So I looked up some of the definitions of peace, and according to the dictionary, peace is a state of tranquility or quiet. It's freedom from civil disturbance. It's a state of security. It's freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions, harmony in personal relationships, a state or period of mutual accord between people or governments, a pact or agreement to end hostilities between those who have been at war or in a state of enmity. And then, you know, looking up some of the biblical definitions of peace, in Hebrew, the word shalom is normally used to denote peace, and in Greek, it's irene. And it gives a connotation of completeness, soundness, safety, welfare, health, prosperity, quiet, tranquility, rest, contentment, harmony in human relationships, and harmony with God, and freedom from war. And so just even looking at the definitions, I was like, wow, there's so many things, so many aspects of peace than just, you know, like Anna had said before, that it's not just the absence of war. It's so much deeper than that. So let's look at just an example of peace in practice. And many of you know the story when Jesus and the disciples are on the boat in the sea and there was a storm. And so let's turn to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And Anna, tonight it'll be the New Living Translation.
Very happy for that.
I know, I thought of you.
Mark chapter 4, what verse?
35 through 41.
Right.
So I already have mine up, so, you know, you guys let me know when you have it together.
I have it.
Okay. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. His disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the winds and waves obey him." So this story is in a couple of the Gospels, three out of the four Gospels. And this version is the one that always makes me laugh, because it's like Jesus had his head on a pillow, basically, in the boat, in the storm. And to me, it's an ultimate example of no matter what's going on around. So let's go back to, as Christians, we have the promise of peace, and God is a source of peace. We have peace with God, peace within ourselves, and peace with others. So tonight we're just going to cover some of those aspects of peace. So let's turn to Psalm chapter 29, verse 11. Eric, you want to read that one? You're muted.
Psalm 29, verse
11.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The Lord give his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace.
So we see in this passage that peace is a blessing from the Lord. He gives it to his people. The peace that God gives us supersedes human logic. And let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Gary, You want to read that one?
Absolutely. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen.
So in Isaiah, this is a prophecy of Jesus, and Jesus is the Prince of Peace and his heavenly government. The peace in it will never end. So that's always something that stuck out to me. Like, I want to be a part of the Lord's kingdom, his government, because that's the most peaceful place we could ever be. A place with peace with no end. Sounds like some place I want to be.
Yeah, right now.
It's interesting, if I could add something here, John.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, this scripture, Isaiah says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, okay? And it contrasts with Satan, who in another scripture is called the Prince of the Power of the Air. You know, Jesus mm-hmm. is the Prince of Peace, but Satan is the Prince of the Power of the Air.
Yeah. So let's turn to John chapter 14, verse 27. So in this passage, it's just to give some preference, because we just read that one verse. It's when Jesus, because I know we read it last week about the Holy Spirit, Jesus is telling the disciples before he leaves the earth, that he's going to leave them with the Comforter. That's the Holy Ghost. And so, Avalon, can you read verse 27? John 14, 27.
Okay. John 14, 27.
Yes.
I'm leaving you with a... Did everyone find it? Okay. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid.
So this gift of peace of mind and heart, he is linking it in this passage with the promise of the Holy Spirit being with us, that when we receive it, it also gives us peace of mind and peace of heart. And the disciples at this point didn't really understand that what it meant for Jesus to leave them in the earthly form. And he was saying, you know, this is going to come back, and this is going to comfort you. This is going to give you peace in your mind and in your heart. And Romans 14, 7. Fourteen seventeen. Anna, can you read that one?
For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Keep going.
That's fine. So the disciples always thought that the Messiah would come, and other people at the time thought that when the Messiah came, he'd bring peace on earth. And they didn't realize necessarily that the peace that Jesus was coming to bring wasn't just some earthly peace, because there's a passage I know, we read it before and we'll read it later, about how Jesus said he didn't come to bring peace on the earth. But they didn't realize at the time that the peace he was talking about was for his eternal kingdom, and that the peace that we can have is through his Holy Spirit. Mm. We can also obtain peace through prayer and faith and focusing on God. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9.
This is one of my favorite passages.
Yeah. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So when I was preparing for this lesson, I noticed there's a theme of, you know, the peace that God gives is in our hearts and in our minds. It's not just a calmness of everything around us, but it's this internal peace that we can have through Him.
I particularly, if I could add, Jen, I love, I love, well, you know, Philippians is like one of my favorite books, if not my favorite, because it's so upbeat and so positive, the book of Philippians. And this passage here is one that really, really moves me a lot. And in other parts of Philippians, it also explains even in further detail, you know, how that peace is transformed to you. Because it's God, as you say, who puts it in your heart and in your mind. And when He puts it in your heart and your mind, you think a completely different way. And when you think a different way, it comes right back to you again. So I'm glad that you shared this with us, because this is a passage that I, like Anna, I love this tremendously, and I hold it close, very, very close to my heart.
Yeah, if we look at verses 8 and 9, it says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you." Just, can you imagine if, you know, that's all we ever thought about in life? What kind of life we'd have?
You know.
I read a lot of positive thinking books, okay, when I was a young person growing up, when I first started working. It was all about positive thinking and stuff like that. And then when I discovered this scripture, when God revealed the scripture in the Bible to me, I'm like, all these people who are doing all these courses with positive thinking, basically they stole it right here from the Bible. It's right here, you know, that's what it is.
But they're doing it without thinking about the God of peace, giving them that peace.
Show me anything in here that is negative thinking. It's complete positive thinking. What is true? What is honorable? What is right? What is pure? What is lovely? What is admirable? Sometimes I remember there were times when I used to go to sleep with this, trying to, because sometimes you have to actively like almost like force yourself to think this way, because there's so many things going into through your mind, you know?
Yeah. It's easier to think negative things.
Especially it could so easily be subconscious to ruminate on negative things.
Yeah.
Even about yourself, like beating yourself up about things. And I love how this is written. I've always loved that, because it doesn't even say think positive. It means that, but it makes it sound almost like the negative isn't even true. Like you can't even call this positive, because it's what is true and what is right and what is honorable and what is pure and what is lovely. It's almost like nothing else should even exist. And I think that's so remarkable. I remember, Gary, you showing me this this passage for the first time. I'm like, wow.
Ask Anna how long it takes me to fall asleep in the night.
How long?
10 seconds, okay?
10 seconds. If so much.
And it's because when I turn, I sometimes think of this scripture, if not of the exact scripture, of what I know is in my brain because of it. And it's so different from if you go to sleep thinking about anything negative. It's like God just takes complete control and says, okay, sleep until in the morning.
I know, my favorite.
I took 2 sleeping pills and I didn't sleep.
I know, you didn't sleep. I thought you were going to take one.
Because I had no peace.
Aw. One of my favorite verses about peace, and this is one of mine that, you know, if something's going on in my mind, I think about. So it's Psalm 127:2. We can turn to that quickly.
Psalm, which one?
127, verse 2. I used to read this all the time whenever I fall asleep pretty easily too. So if something is really going on, if I'm not just like instantly laying down and fall asleep, it says, it is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones.
Amen.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Now, especially in our culture where we think that, especially in this Western culture, well, American, and meaning America in a whole, where we think that, you know, you're just supposed to work,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, nope, God's going to take care of it. I can go to bed now. It'll.
It's useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat. For God gives rest to his loved ones.
Yeah.
So we just say, you know, I remember being on vacation, all right? I remember Anna and I, we were on a cruise. Sorry to talk so much about cruises, but
I know you love cruises. That's why I started out with the story about Jesus in the boat. Like, this is the boat people in the...
We were in Italy. It was in Italy, all right? In Santorini. We were in Santorini, and we were... At the end of the night, we were in a line coming back to go to the ship, all right? And while we're in that line, there was this guy next to me. It was an American ship. And this guy and myself and him, we were talking. And I was telling how beautiful it was. And telling him we love cruising. And he was only boasting to me about how hard he worked. And about how it was so hard for him to get this vacation. Because his office in the U.S. needed him so badly. And I was telling him, well, good for you. I'm going to be cruising for a long time. And we take as much vacation. And he was like... Oh, that he was implying that meant I wasn't important, and he couldn't understand how I could be happy being like this, because he was like, they need me, I have to work. And Anna and I was looking at him.
As a matter of pride, actually, he was like, yeah, you know, that my boss, that wouldn't work because they can't run things without me, you know. I'm like, that's why I'm going back on the boat to do some work, and I'm good for you.
I'm like, dude, what are you working all this for? If you died on this cruise, they would just send a wreath to your funeral and that's the end of it, you know?
Yeah.
Balance, that's so beautiful.
I know. I normally, not to call Eric out, but I know sometimes he's up late working and I'm like, go to bed.
But he's tired. African people and Caribbean people like me, I have friends who work with me in the office from Africa, and Caribbean people like me, we feel guilty when we don't work. They teach us that from small, you know, even if we're just in the office. But I have friends from Africa who don't want to take vacation. I have to tell them, take vacation. You're in New York. The Caribbean is right here. You may never come back to this part of the world. Go on vacation. And they're like, boy, Gary, yeah, but I feel so bad. Even if they're not doing anything that much or critical in the office, it's our culture. People from Trinidad feel the same way. You tell them, hey, today I have a day off, because they're like, what, a day off? Something must be wrong with you. Why are you taking time off? You know, that's not good.
Yeah, this is always my verse to use. Like, nope, it's time for me to go to bed. I'm not doing any more work. Bye, guys. I'm getting some rest from the Lord.
You're a good European, Jen.
Yeah, Jen is like me. We like Europeans in that regard. We like vacation.
Yep, exactly.
No, I learned that the hard way, that because I used to work from sun up to sundown, and all it did is it gave me ulcers. That's all it did. I didn't accomplish anything except that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so in terms of peace within, there's a conflict or a war going on in all of us, and it's a war between the spirit and the flesh. So the carnal, sinful nature of men influences our actions, it messes with our minds, and it can rob us of our peace. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Eric, can you read that one?
But the angels, who are far greater in power and strength.
Which version are you reading?
NLT. New Living Translation.
NLT?
Yeah, that's what you told us.
Yes.
Okay. I'm making sure I'm on the right translation. Okay.
Okay, yeah. What is the verse again? 2 Peter 2?
11.
11?
2:11.
Good. I got it too.
I gave you guys the wrong reference. 1 Peter 2:11. I gave my...
I thought it must have been that.
I put all the links in and I'm like, wait a second. 1 Peter 2:11. There we go. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Dear friends, I warn you as a temporary resident and foreigner to keep away from worldly desires that wage wars against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give you honor to God when he judges the world.
So this is a warning from Peter. That the worldly desires, the flesh, the carnality, it's waging war within us against our own souls. Let's go to Romans chapter 7, verse 23.
Romans what?
7:23.
Okay.
So Evelyn, can you read that one?
Yeah, we just find it 7:23. But there is another.
Oh, she froze.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened, but she froze. But internet probably went dead.
I can
read. Okay.
But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me.
And then one more about this internal war. So Romans chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. Gary, can you read that one?
Sure. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will.
So we could see that the carnal spirit of man is always striving against the spirit of God. And God has placed, you know, the Bible calls it treasure in earthen vessels. When he puts his spirit inside of us, we're still in flesh, you know? And so this war is still going on within us. And in order to overcome it, we have to be led by the spirit. We have to let it control our mind. Because once we start straying from that, that's when our default nature starts to lead us down another path. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 23. And this passage covers the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the spirit.
What is the verse?
Galatians 5, verses 16 through 23. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the spirit wants. And the spirit gives us desires that are opposite to what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I've said before, anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Again, there is no law against these things. So this passage always shows such a stark contrast into what our carnal man, what our flesh desires to do versus what happens if we allow God's Spirit to grow in us. You know, fruit takes time to bear. And I think, you know, personally, peace is something I don't want to say I struggle with, but it's not, I don't feel like it's one of the fruit that's as prominent as I would like it to be in my life. You know, I want to have that inner tranquility, that peace that God gives, no matter what the situation is. Normally I'm calm in most situations, but am I really calm on the inside? I can always be calm on the outside, presenting myself to others and, you know, keep things at peace, but I want it to grow inside of me.
That's so interesting that you said that. It's so interesting you said that, Jen, because I would have taken you probably as one of the calmest people.
I'm super calm all the time.
Yeah, you're like super chill. And I'm like, if you're not calm, like, what am I?
You always appear to be happy.
Yeah.
And very, yeah. You know, very zen, very balanced and stuff.
But it's one of those things. It's like, you know, when someone in my family is sick or something's not going right, like, I don't want to start focusing on the things that are negative. I want to always feel that peace inside. You know, I don't want it to be, all right, Lord, I prayed, I feel better now. And then the next moment I'm like, oh, something else came up. And then, you know, you get frazzled again on the inside. So I want that lasting peace to be part of my nature inside of me as the Spirit grows in me and as I grow in my walk with the Lord. You know,
that's why it's a good topic to choose. Like, for me, I also feel like that's something I struggle with. It's something that, you know, you kind of desiring, but for me, I know it's very hard to get there because I'm always very, you know, frazzled doing, like, I'm always multitasking in my mind. It's
yes. Well, I know.
I think probably one of the most peaceful people that I've ever met in terms of external appearance of peace is Avalon. Avalon is an extremely peaceful person, you know, and you see it with children. Children run to her. I've never met anybody in my life who can comb a child's hair, who children go to and say, can you comb my hair? She's a super peaceful person. So probably at some point, maybe you could share with us how you're able to have that peaceful disposition most of the time.
I don't pay attention.
You know, at some point you can help us with that, because I have probably the opposite way, Jan. I am a person who tends to feel very peaceful by myself and so forth, but I'm always a person who's prone to outbursts because I'm a very emotional person. I wear it on my sleeves, you know? So sometimes people might think one minute he could be very, very calm and cool, the next minute he could be very firm. But that's because I suffer with the opposite way. Because inside, I think to a certain extent, I'm pretty peaceful a lot of times, but I'm not able to exhibit it. I'm not able to actually convey that emotion, I believe, to people that I am peaceful, except in certain settings, you know? So I'm challenged the reverse way a lot of times. And it's because there's a flaw in the way that I'm exhibiting the peace that I feel inside at times. Of course, I have frustrations inside too, but there's a flaw. So maybe sometime too, you could help with that to see if you could help to, you know, how can we, you know, when you have that feeling inside, even share it with others even more. So just mentioning that, because, you know, we all look at ourselves and see different issues.
Yeah. So the next verse will lead to an answer as to how we can have this peace, right? Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. So, Gary, maybe if you can read that one.
Isaiah chapter 26,
verse 3.
And verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you.
So I think in addition to letting the Holy Spirit guide us, we have to trust God. And I think that, not to say that you don't have peace when because you're not trusting God, but it's one of those things. If you're constantly thinking about the Lord, if you are constantly trusting in Him, then a lot of the stuff that is unsettling to us starts to whittle away. No matter what's going on, we know that God is in control and God will take care of it and God will work it out for our good. And that He'll give us that peace that passes understanding. We just have to keep trusting in Him. We have to keep keep thinking about Him.
Wow, Jen, it's almost like if I asked for something and I just got it in the scripture. I see something in here. I see something in here that is so great. You don't mind if I say it?
No,
I just said something, all right? It's strange. I didn't even know you. I don't know the scripture. I'm seeing it for the first time. But I was just asking you a question, and it's like God gave me the answer here.
Mm-hmm. And it was my next one in line, and the next verse.
This is really interesting because it says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. So it's like God is saying to me, my efforts will keep those in perfect peace who trust in Him through me. So, oh boy, this is so powerful. And you know, this is almost like an anecdote to who I am, because this is how this can work for me. Thanks for sharing this. I get it. In other words, if I am peaceful, then others will follow me and be peaceful. Because if they trust in me and they see that peace in me, they'll be peaceful too. So I can actually use my external peace to make other people peaceful. The peace that God gives me, I can share it with other people, and that will make them be in peace too as well. That's what I'm seeing it saying here. So God gives me peace, I give it to others. And that keeps them in peace. The peace that I show that God has given me will keep them in peace. Because you will keep in peace, in perfect peace, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. If Christ's Spirit is in me and that peace is exhibited, then those who trust in Christ and through and in Him through me will also be in peace. Very interesting.
Yeah, after Acts, I'd say Isaiah is one of my other favorite books in the...
You know, I was going to say this, what Gary just said is like, he said, I'm one of the most peaceful persons, you know, but I didn't have an answer as to why. But now I know, I think it's not me. I think God is the one who, this is a gift. I think this is a gift He gave me, because I can't explain why I don't get angry and I'm always peaceful and calm, and I can't explain that. But now that Gary was talking about that, it's God is the one who has blessed me with that that gift.
I really think that's true. I really think that's true, because there's some people, Avalon, I've noticed this with you. I've noticed it with you, Gary, at times too. And like, I've noticed it, I think, with all of you at various points. I'm always like, I don't know if all of you met Katie, the wife of and a friend that we know in Long Island City.
Jen met her.
I think Jen met her, yeah.
Eric is missing. Huh? Eric is missing.
Oh. I think he just had to step away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's sometimes when you're around people like that, you feel like your tension level going down, like your shoulders dropping. And I find that so uplifting. And I'm like, if only I could be that person to someone, because I honestly think I'm probably quite the opposite. Because I'm naturally really quite the opposite. And it's not because I mean bad. I really don't. I'm just naturally in a really like tense state most of the time. And I always have to-do lists in my head, you know, and things I'm working off of in my head. And it stresses me out when there's too many things. And the more frazzled I get, I think the more I carry that outwardly. And I notice it so many times, like even how like my tolerance for silence, for pauses in conversation is so low. It's so much lower than others. Like I feel so much tension and I'm like, how can I be like one of those people who just makes you like your stress levels go down? How do I become that? But I guess you have to, and you find, I see this in just like in the scripture, it's so beneficial for you when you're around a person like that. But how do you become that person? How do you yourself become that person if you're not naturally that way inclined?
Well, I think, you know, I love that the Bible calls it the fruit of the Spirit. And fruits take different times to grow in different kinds of plants, right? So, like, personally right now, I'm growing ginger. And I'm like, I don't know if it's time to harvest. I've never grown ginger before. You know, I was looking on the internet. I'm like, I don't know when it's ready. But, right? So, but watching it day by day grow, it's like, oh, okay. I could see that now it's fully formed. It's time for me to do something with it. So I think, you know, we're all this spiritual plant that's going to grow these different things, but these different fruits come at different times. And, you know, like, because we're different people, it takes different times to show in each of us. So it's coming, you know, it's a gift from God, and it's as God continues to work in your life over time, the more and more peace you have on the inside. So your fruit's coming. It's just,
As you're talking, you know, this going back to the scripture that you gave us in Isaiah 26:3, all right? If we trust in God, usually when we don't have peace or when we're very anxious, it's when we, and Anna, I'm speaking about all of us, is when we kind of take matters into our own hands. It's
That's
because
true.
We want to fix it our way.
That's true.
We usually shut off from God and we start looking at the issue with our intellect and with all of this, and we leave God in the background. And then, at least with me, I become frazzled and I want to fight this on my own. You think you need to raise your voice to make the point. You need to be emphatic. You need to sound strong. All kinds of things. You know, you're insulting me. You better stop there. You rattle yourself. And in that moment, the Spirit of God is not controlling you because you are being fleshly, you're being worldly. Oh, you insult my intelligence. I need to get back at you, all this kind of stuff. But it's not the Spirit of God in control. And that's what I think causes the problem. Because in Isaiah, that same Isaiah 26, when you go down to verse 4, it says, trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. So the moment you're not trusting in God to be peace, to give you that peace, and to, that's when I think you drift from him. And that's what happens to me. And unfortunately, it happens too often. So you always drift in. So Anna, maybe as we trust more in God, we will learn to calm down and to depend on him.
There's another verse I want to turn to. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. So Anna, maybe you can read that one.
Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you.
It makes it seem so simple. If we could just give everything we worry about to Lord, like, okay, here you go, Lord. Thank you. Thanks for caring about me. You're going to take care of this. But in reality, that's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to worry about anything. We're supposed to be able just to hand it over to God. And God is there caring about us, wanting to take this load off of us, you know?
That's a really good point. It's almost like making sure you insert God into more areas of your life actively. Because I think 90% of the things I'm stressed about, I'm almost like, well, this is not the God space, you know, like it's me. I have to run this errand, fill out this form, you know, get this thing organized. So
exactly.
It's always when your mind is on fix it yourself mode, you know, like, and I like to, like sometimes I think that's why people tell me I function well on the job when there's a lot of pressure and deadlines. Because like I go into production mode, like I'm like, it's like I zoom everything out and it's like, bam, 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 bam. But afterwards, it doesn't really, once the thrill is over, it's like, it's not a healthy way of doing it necessarily, you know? it's always when you're not focusing your mind, that's all the clutter gets in. And I think that's key. I think that's where you have to make the space to trust and the space to even just as much as saying it's okay. It will be okay. It will be done. God, you're going to take me through it. Like, even if I'm taking the same steps, maybe it's just a difference on, you know, I could drop my shoulders. I could take a breath. God will take me through it.
Yeah. I find you know, I'm like you, I like to get stuff done. I like to know everything is going to be in control. I like to know that everything is going to be in order, that it's going to get done. And so I spend a lot of time doing those kinds of things. But it's like, I need to hand it over to the Lord. You know, he's given us these abilities to do these things at these, you know, under pressure and under these rates and stuff. But God is sitting there caring for us. Like, I can help you out. I'm here. I'm the one who gave you this ability. I'm here who created the situation. Like,
an epic example of this, all right, is probably the greatest man outside of Christ to live may have been Moses, God's servant Moses, okay? He was leading the people of Israel out of Egypt all the way to the promised land, okay? What a magnanimous task that would have been. And yet still, what do we see? He spent a lot of time during that tremendous responsibility going up in the mountains by himself and sitting and talking to God. He used to go for days or weeks or even long periods of time. And you would think, but he's supposed to be the most busy man in the world.
It's true. He's on a deadline.
And we feel that we're so important that we're supposed to be running here and doing all of this. You know,
that's such a good point. That is such a good point. Like, you know, in those situations, you're usually like a person coming to you for something like, I don't have time for this. Like, I have to get. Yeah. And it's like, really, is that the right way to be? I mean, Moses really shouldn't have had the time to sit up in a mountain somewhere talking to God. I mean,
he probably shouldn't have had time to even have breakfast, you know, and there he was. He used to leave the people and say, okay, guys, I'm going up to the mountains. And he go up to the mountains and spend time and not just spend quality time with God.
This makes me laugh so much just thinking about it. It's almost like, shit, I can't leave my people alone. Like, a lion will come eat them, or they'll start getting on. They start getting on stupid. I have to be. They'll probably start worshiping idols or something. Like, I can't leave them.
You know, I have no time to come up to the mountains. You come here and talk to me while I'm dealing with these people. No,
exactly.
You know, and we think that we're so important that we can't even take 5 minutes to have breakfast on a morning.
That is so true. That's such a funny example.
Yeah. No, I hadn't thought of it that way either. He was spending a lot of time in those mountains.
I know.
It's hard, you know.
And he had so much responsibilities.
Yeah.
So the next aspect of peace is peace with God. So through sin and carnality, mankind was not at peace with God. And God reconciled us to himself through Jesus. So let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. Eric, can you read that one?
23. Okay.
Wait, let me make sure. Yes, 19 through 23.
Okay. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thought and action.
Keep going. 323.
Okay. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. Amen.
I think this is pretty powerful. You know, we think about just, a lot of times we think about peace between people or peace within ourselves, but it's like we weren't at peace with God in our sinful nature. And God had this divine plan to reconcile mankind with himself, and he did it through Jesus, through the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. The other aspect of peace I wanted to mention was peace with others. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 18. Avalon, can you read that one?
Sure. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. What, until what verse?
Until 18.
Okay. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when, in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility towards each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us.
So not only was God reconciling the relationship between mankind and himself, but he also broke down barriers between different groups of people, in this passage specifically the Jews and the Gentiles. And we're all one body in Christ. When he died on the cross, it wasn't just for one group of people, it was for all people. And I just thought that, you know, this particular passage is interesting in that the hostilities that we normally have between people, like, oh, you're from this place, or oh, you have this belief, or oh, you're this, or whatever that, it's like God made a way through the Holy Spirit that all of us are in this one body and there shouldn't be any hostilities between us. Mm-hmm. We should also strive to live in peace. So 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Gary, can you read that one?
Sure. 2 Corinthians.
Can you repeat it one more time?
2 Corinthians 13, verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
Give Anna a minute to get there.
Okay. Thank you.
Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful, grow to maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace. then the God of love and peace will be within you.
So we're supposed to live in peace. We're supposed to live peaceably with all men. We're supposed to not only just have the peace within ourselves, but within the brothers and sisters of the Lord. And it's not just peace, but it's also harmony. And, you know, there's some people that it seems like it's a little more difficult to get along with than others in life, to put it nicely.
And Jen, that's from person to person. Huh? Like, you would have difficulty with one person, and I may find them great. I may have difficulty in getting along with another person, and you would be fine with them. I've noticed that from person to person. And then sometimes you have people who get along with everybody, like Avalon.
Yeah, but
thank you, Gary.
Is it true?
You know, as you mentioned before, Gary, like when God gives you that peace and you start emanating that peace, I think it's easier to be peaceful with others when you're at peace within yourself.
Can I say something about that? What I have found is that peace with yourself is critical. That's what you have to be concerned with, because others may be at war with you, but even if another person is at war with you, you can still have a peaceful spirit towards them. But that's if you're at peace with yourself.
And that's exactly
that's what I think the challenge is, for you to be at peace with yourself. And because you said earlier on that peace is not really, this peace that we're talking about is not circumstantial, then what it means is that the circumstances around you don't have to be peaceful for you to be peaceful. Christ was on the cross, and everybody who was down there was at enmity with him. They were stabbing him and giving him vinegar to drink and putting a crown of thorns on him, but he was still at peace with them. That's why he was able to say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," instead of saying, "Father, zap them all." You know. So to me, this is the sign for us, and this is where we come short, because as human beings in the flesh, we're just incapable of this. It's only with God's Spirit in us that we could really have that, as you say. Because what is the peace in us, Jen? It's the Spirit of God in us.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So that's basically some of the points. There's so many different aspects of peace. I looked up, I have the concordance at home, and I printed out. I was printing out all the pages where peace is referenced, and I'm like, Lord, I'm not going to have to read all this before. Trying to go through, and I was like, okay.
The last person I knew with a concordance was my minister in Trinidad, like 30 years ago.
No, because I like to see, how it's used, the different references, the different things it translates to, but peace is mentioned in the King James Version 430 times, and that doesn't include, peacefulness, living, many things.
Jen, I remember him walking with his big concordance, and I used to be like,
what is that, some kind of index thing for?
Yes, a concordance is like a biblical index of every word in the Bible.
Harry.
Mr. Charles.
Okay.
And Jen. Yeah. Anna, my Mr. Charles, who I tell you about a lot, he had this massive concordance like Jen. And listen, in those days, you know how expensive but critical that was to have, because you didn't have no Google, you didn't have cross references.
Exactly.
There was no internet. That was your internet. That concordance was your internet of the Bible, basically.
Wow.
And he used to come with scriptures that are correlating, and I was like, wow, this guy is genius. How does he know all of that? I mean, now we could just Google it,
Yeah. But I went through a lot. There's so many different things about peace, about, praying for peace, the peace between nations, peace offerings, holding your peace, peacey, peace, like it was all. So many things. So it was difficult to narrow down to, but I thought, just covering at least the peace we're supposed to have in ourselves through God's Holy Spirit, the fact that God reconciled mankind reconciled us to peace with him, because we were, you know, basically at war with God through sin. And then also just being peaceful in our relationships with others, you know. And I think starting out with that, at least, you know, with the passage we started out with Jesus asleep on a pillow. Like, I want that kind of peace in my life. I want to be no matter what kind of storm is going on, you know, I can be at rest because I know that God is there with me and he's taking care of things. The ship may be sinking on the outside, but I have peace on the inside and I'm undisturbed, unbothered. I'm at rest because I know that God is taking care of everything.
That's so close to home now, you know?
I guess, as with many other things, it's not us that's doing it. It's not us at peace. Yeah. It's the peace of God inside of us.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Dan, I know you may have covered this when you were going through this, but if it's okay, could I share something?
Of course.
Yeah. You guys know of the Beatitudes, all right?
Yeah.
There's this thing in the Bible called the Beatitudes. People call it the Beatitudes. It's basically the things that Christ saying what we're blessed for. And the one of the Beatitudes is a Beatitude, and it's in Matthew 5. If you want to go there, Matthew 5, where Christ lists some of the Beatitudes to the people who he was talking to. He taught them the following, where he says, blessed are certain types of people. And one of them is where he says, blessed are the peacemakers. And he says, for a special reason, they shall be called the children of God. So peacemakers in Matthew 5:9 are called the children of God. And I think Jen was helping us to see how we can be peacemakers, because she shows that if we trust in God, then we have that peace and we can share that peace with others. And then we become peacemakers. Even when people are angry with us, we're able to give to make peace with them. And there's a special blessing for peacemakers. And I think that's important for us to note. So Avlon, maybe you have been the recipient of some of this, you know, as a peacemaker, because it's really difficult to be a peacemaker. Sometimes you gotta put yourself on the line too. I mean, there's the Avalon type peacemaker, but there's also peacemakers who see a fight and come in between it and make peace or try to bring. There's some people who like to bring people together. They love bringing people together.
Yeah, that's you.
Thanks, but I don't look at myself that way. But God says that whoever is a peacemaker, which is something to do with peace, shall be called a child of God. You know, so it's just something for us to think of too. If we are peacemakers, I don't see myself as a peacemaker, but if we are, that this is a good thing that we should strive to be peacemakers. I consider peacemakers more people who put themselves on the line. I don't really put myself on the line, I think. I don't talk, but anyway, yeah. So, you know, some people actually go out of their way to make peace between people. They see people fighting, but then there's the other type of person who sees people fighting and think, yes! Now I could befriend one and put them against the other and stuff like that, you know? So yeah, if you're a peacemaker, Christ is blessed you are, because, and for that you shall be called a child of God, which is a very precious thing to be called, because it's the Spirit of God in you.
Yeah, and even like looking at it in the verse, the children of the God are the ones making the peace, right?
Yeah.
Like it should be part of our nature. And, you know, I always was kind of raised, you know, like if someone else has a problem, it's their problem, right? Like it's not for you to to get involved with it and that kind of thing.
So would you say then that making peace is something that you have to initiate? It's not that we just sit down and look on and think, well, okay, they're fighting, that's that. But if they call and ask me to intervene, then. But it's actually, as a Christian, you should be seeking opportunities to make peace with people, for people to make.
I think you should, because we're supposed to be living peaceable among everyone. We're supposed to be following after peace. We're supposed to show, you know, have God's peace as a fruit of the Spirit. So I think, you know, as many people have mentioned over time, like if you're that peaceful person in the room, it also helps settle things in and of itself. Just you being around, just you participating, just you saying something. So I just think it's something we all should strive to do. Like I said, for me, it's a little more difficult because I was raised like stay out of it. It's someone else's thing. Don't go. But it's like, I want to be someone to help people make peace. I want to help be a peacemaker.
Who's the ultimate peacemaker? Jesus Christ, all right? When he was being attacked on the cross, what did he do? He was still making peace between man and God. Because what he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. He tried to make, he was making peace between us and God. As you pointed out earlier, he was making peace between us, even though we are not at peace with God. He's making peace with us. So it's interesting.
Yeah, it's something, it's one of those fruit I'm still working on. There's some other fruit of the Spirit going through that list. It's like, ooh, temperance, meekness, patience.
Yeah, you say again, Jen.
Like, ooh, all right, Lord, this is the end goal? Okay, I'm working on it. I need your help.
Patience, I normally say, I'm not a doctor. I don't have any patience.
Okay. You know, long suffering. One of those, like, Lord, why'd you put this on the list? Okay.
Yeah, long suffering.
Long suffering, you know? So it's interesting to go through each of the fruit, and it's like, okay, how can I apply this in my life? Is this something, you know, I need to pray about, to ask God to continue to develop in me? Like, I want all of them to develop, but what right now, Lord, am I not a peaceable person? Do I not have love? Do I not have joy? Do I not, you know, am I not meek? I mean, I know I'm not a humble person. That's something I'm also working on, right? So it's like, I try to see, because, you know, Christ is our ultimate, like, our ultimate mark, our ultimate goal. We're supposed to be like him. And so there's a passage of scripture, and it talks about, like, with looking in his word is like looking in a mirror. It's like looking in a looking glass to see a reflection of yourself. So I find that the more time I spend in the word, the more time I'm like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Lord, help me to get to this point. Help me with your spirit to be this, especially in this one. Help me, Lord, to have peace, to have your peace, to share this peace, to be peaceful with others. So does anyone have any final thoughts before we go to Eric as the closer? All right, Eric, would you like to close us out?
Yes, it's so interesting to see that, as I said at the beginning, a lot of people are looking for peace, you know? They are paying for that. They try to discuss with someone to help them to get this peace. They are doing some kind of activities. They are able to do whatever just to get this peace. And it's very funny because according what we saw tonight, everything is available for free in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Everything is available for free in our relationship with God. You know, we don't have to pay. We don't have to ask someone to help us. No. The only thing that we have is to go before God and ask him to provide us this peace, you know. And it's so simple. And sometimes you have the impression that it's so complicated, but the answer is so simple, you know? And this is really one of the great gifts that God is giving to us. And I think that it's not like, if God is providing peace, it's because God knows that we need this peace to survive in our world, you know? It's something that really we need to get. Otherwise, it will be very complicated to survive. Because every day we have to deal with a lot of pressure. You have to deal with people that it's very complicated to keep down, to keep your calm, you know. And really, we need this peace. And the second point that I will raise, it's very interesting because you mentioned that it's a good thing to be to spread, if I can say, this peace, But as you mentioned, the first thing is you cannot pray, you cannot share something that you don't have. You know, the first thing we need really to make, as you mentioned, to do a work in our own lives. And when we get that, we get this peace, at that moment, we can spread this peace around us. Yes, this is what I have to say.